You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Game Week 30 and beyond. My name is Joe and today I'm joined by Fantasy Football Scout writer Mark to discuss the best goalkeeper and defender options for Game Week 30 and beyond. We are doing this during the international break and ahead of any double Game Week announcements. So obviously caveat a lot of what we say around that, but hopefully it will still be of use after that. Anyway, Mark, how are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. Not too bad. Still trying to recover from blank 29.
All right.
And all the horrors of that. I was one of the three hitters.
Yes.
2 years in a row, a three hit has ended in a red arrow, which doesn't really make sense, but there we go. So a bit away from that, doing okay. Thank you.
I mean, it was one of the worst three hits I can ever remember. And I think 2 years ago, I was one of those that free-hitted in a similar sort of game week where basically the success of the free-hit relied on Arsenal players doing well. And of course, all the main Arsenal players that week, I think, didn't play, which was rather annoying. Very similar poor week there. So I don't really mind. What would have been bad is if everyone around you had done well and you hadn't done well, but everyone did badly. So it's all right.
That was it. It was basically went for Elanga, didn't go for Gibbs White. If it had gone the other way around, it would have been a green.
Yeah. Just 5 points in it. But, you know, we move on. Free hitless, and let's see how we can go. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at the fixtures, and then we're going to have a look at the best goalkeepers and defenders. Obviously, we are with a focus on those with a double game week, whenever that is. As well, so whenever we get that information around the rearranged games, hopefully those watching and listening can sort of factor that into your thinking as well. Also, just a quick reminder, do press that like button, it helps us out, and do remember to subscribe, keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts as well. I'm just going to put the fixtures up because this only goes up to the game week 33 because we don't know with 34. But there is a number of teams that will double, and I'll tell you the ones that won't. Villa, West Ham, Fulham, Brentford, Luton, Nottingham Forest and Burnley. They won't double unless something terrible happens in the next few game weeks. But they will not double as far as we know. But the other, everyone else apart from them will get at least one more fixture. Chelsea have got two more fixtures to rearrange as well, so they're very important. Luckily, Chelsea are top of the fixture ticker, so they're good to go now. They've got Burnley, game week 30, then Manchester United, Sheffield United, Everton, Bournemouth are doing well for the fixtures. Everton and Crystal Palace at home and Manchester United at home and Luton away next four. Fulham, they don't have a double game week, so I'm less interested in them personally. Other people might be. And then Liverpool, they have a game to rearrange. They've got Brighton, Sheffield United next. Good fixtures. Nottingham Forest, no double game week, but could be good for 2 weeks. Got Crystal Palace and Fulham at home. Meanwhile, Luton, Aston Villa, no double game weeks there. Crystal Palace, yes, they have a fixture to arrange. And Brighton, they have a fixture to arrange, rearrange, are amongst the teams at the bottom of the fixture ticket, according to difficulty there. So, Mark, I mean, looking at this really, and looking in terms of goalkeepers and defenders, so we're looking at defences really. What are the teams that interest you amongst these?
In general, not many teams interest defensively, because there's been such a letdown this season, whether it's because of all the additional added time or other factors. Apart from Arsenal, the potential of maybe doubling up on Arsenal, not a lot else has stood out. I mean, we've seen Newcastle's defence from last season completely capitulate. And yeah, we see Chelsea at the top of that ticker. And just in terms of fixture quantity, it probably is worth having one from Chelsea. But at the same time, I'm not entirely confident that they will keep many. It just seems like the right thing to do. They're the only team with 11 matches left to play. And in that respect, the goalkeeping combo of Dubravka and Areola, it's like playing with 10 men each week. But we all accept it because there's other stuff to do. But at some point, it needs to change. I know our colleague Lewis suggested, he pointed out that Raya and Petrovic, the Chelsea goalkeeper, have a really good rotation. And it is a little bit pricey, though. That's the thing. I'm not entirely sure. Does Robert Sanchez come back in at some point? So, yeah, there's a few defences that look good on top of the ticker there.
Yeah, I think if I was wildcarding now, I might go for that Raya Petrovic combination, because, you know, I haven't really enjoyed the Areola Dubravka one. I'm now on a Kelleher Areola one. So basically Kelleher until Alisson is back, which might not be for a while. And hopefully for me, it won't be, ahead. I'll have Kelleher for a double game week, which would be good. So if they play in 34. So a lot's up in the air with the double game weeks. Basically 34 and 37 will be the biggies. And there'll be probably a little one somewhere in 35, 36, which may involve Chelsea because they've got two games to rearrange. But a lot will depend on the TV companies. I was listening to Planet FPL, James on there, and he had lots of interesting things to say around the TV scheduling. And it all depends on whether the TV schedulers want a sort of a game week in game week 37, where there's a midweek where you, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you can have these rearranged games. And they will involve all the contenders for the title, you know, Liverpool, City and Arsenal. So it can really be billed out, you know, the sort of the week of reckoning kind of thing, and which would be good for a TV point of view. So it all depends on whether they go for that or they don't go for that. So we won't know at the moment as you're watching this, but you might know shortly after we've, well, I say we don't know at the moment as we're recording it, but you might know it as you're watching it. So you never know there. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at double game weekers, and I like that Petrovic Raya combination. I do think there's more value perhaps in Gabriel and Saliba, but I do like the fact that they dovetail nice. You might get some clean sheets there finally, and they do seem now, Petrovic in the league and Sanchez in the cup seems to be the way Chelsea are planning out. But yeah, as you suggested, that might change. You never know, because I mean, Sanchez was, rotated a lot at Brighton towards the end of his career there. So perhaps it's just going that way. He's just being rotated out, and he's for a move. But okay. Let's have a look at some goalkeepers. See who we're interested in at the moment. Who have you got in goal at the moment?
It is that Dubravka Areola combo.
Okay, so I'm with a newfangled Kelleher Areola. I'll go for I'll have a vowel, please, for that one. Okay, these are the best goalkeepers. So I've sorted this by minutes per save. So you want save points. They've also factored in the fact whether they get any clean sheets. This is for all matches. And you can see some of them have very rarely got clean sheets. And also is whether they've got an extra game or not. So I've only included those with an extra game, and their cost and how many goals they've actually conceded as well over this time. So I'm not interested in Martinez, Areola, Leno, Flecken, Kaminski, Sells at Nottingham Forest, Trafford, or Muric, whoever it is, in goal at Burnley. I do like Leno, though, and I do think when we look to those fixtures, Fulham have really good fixtures, but he doesn't have a double game week, so I'm less interested there. So let's start with Dubravka then. He's in your team, costs 4.2, still value. Only two clean sheets all season. And minutes per save rate is high, though, 20. A save every 20 minutes, so that's save point time. About the occasional haul off him, but yeah, what are you... Are you looking to get rid? Are you wild carding at some point? What?
I would like to get rid, because one of the reasons his minutes per save is so high is because he's having to make a lot of... He's facing a lot of shots because the defence is that bad. So it can be sort of interpreted either way. I do think whether it's a wild card... My plan all along has sort of been a wild card in 33, but I haven't really seen it mentioned anywhere. But it just seems to be a few fixture shifts taking place then. And of course, it's right before double 34 as well. So could learn about that. And that is almost a time when you might be seeing Nick Pope return from his injury. Okay. So Dubravka has limited shelf life anyway. And he's conceding a lot as well. So I would like to get rid of him at some point soon, but it depends how many other fires there are to put out, really. Yep. I think Eddie Howe's latest quote on Pope said April, probably towards the end of April, which suggests around game week 35, Sheffield United at home. So there's a bit more life in Dubravka, but he's not going to keep clean sheets.
No, I mean, what's put me off 33 wildcards, so I'm going to probably wildcard 35 or 36, is that the double game week in 34 and the double game week in 37 are going to involve very different teams. And we don't know whether they're going to be all of their heavy hitters in 37, for example, but they will be different. So the reason I'm looking at after 34 is that the way I'm set up, I've got I'm not overloaded in certain teams. I've got a little bit of Palace as well, a little bit of Manchester United. They're not going to double in 34, but I mean, I've got this spread of players. So I feel I might better go into 34 with transfers. But yes, if it's like the biggest double game week, which it probably won't be, but it could be, then yeah, I probably would go for 33 then. But I'm looking at, if 37 is the biggest one, I want to get a wild card for that. And game week 34 doublers are going to be different to the game week 37 ones. That's what's sort of putting me off.
That's a very fair point, in fairness. I think the only reason that the only thing put me off at 35 is that I just don't like doing it so late, because the wild card is the most valuable chip around, and to only get four game weeks out of it feels bad. But at the same time, I look at the squad and it is kind of mostly there, like it is almost there, so just got to play the game as it is rather than being stubborn about certain things.
Yeah, there is definitely a thing with a wild card as well. Yeah, it's like you just know. I mean, other people can say, oh, use your wild card here, but we only know when we got our team, we look at your team, and if you don't like the team, and it's not even just 1 week, if you just don't like the team at all going forward, then it is probably time to wildcard. And I feel okay with mine at the moment. It's got, you know, a Salah plan, a bit of Man City, that type of thing. Next name on this is Neto. Bournemouth do have a double game week. And because they're not involved in Europe at all, there's no consideration. So it can be done sooner rather than later. So it could indeed be in game week 34. Neto, 4.7. He has got six clean sheets. I know Dubravka hasn't played all season, hence him only getting two clean sheets. But Minutes per save, very strong as well. It didn't do so well in the double game week, but I don't know. I'd be, if I was in the market for a goalkeeper, I'd be tempted by Neto, would you?
Yeah, he is tempting because he's a good price. He's up near the top ones, kind of. A lot of his clean sheets were in that little spell in, I think it was December, where Bournemouth had a really good run, like him and Solanke. And so the clean sheets have dried up a bit, and there are sort of scars from watching them quickly go 3-0 down to Luton in the double, but sort of in a position where not a lot is standing out. There's not a lot wrong with Neto.
Next name is Onana. Yeah, just to point out Bournemouth's fixtures. If you're watching and want to get Neto in now, he's got Everton, Crystal Palace at home next, then Luton away, Manchester United at home. So it's a good run before potential double. Anyway, Onana's next on the list. One of my biggest regrets this season is getting rid of Onana. I had him for the first few games. He was getting me clean sheets and save points and bonus, and I just got rid of him in my first wild card. And I kept him in the Sky game. So in the Sky game, I was doing really well out of Onana. I was getting all of those points. I missed out on them all. I'm messing around with Areola and Dubravka. But anyway, he's 4.8. He's got 8 clean sheets. His minutes per save is really strong. Every 24 minutes, he's made 105 saves. He's totally nailed on. He's conceded 39 goals, but he's making those saves. But he's got those 8 clean sheets, which is the most out of the joint most out of any goalkeepers we're mentioning here. Yeah, he's still only 4.8. What, everyone hates him. I think he's really good.
I had the same thought as you recently. Also started off the season with him, and now in hindsight, when you see who's currently in goal, you think he wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad. And he's the joint top scorer and goalkeeper, which I did not realise. Him and Leno are joint top. So how did that happen? So going forward, totally, like when sort of looking early at the wild card, the other good thing about Manchester United's defence from an Onana's perspective is that none of the defenders are particularly have that attacking, like, you know, even Dalot, you know, I think Wan-Bissaka's back now. So Onana is kind of the nailed on one, and he's a mix between clean sheets and save points. Man United have allowed the fourth most shots throughout the whole league, but they've conceded the fifth fewest goals. Okay. So that's what you combination. Want. I think that was sort of like what Raya had at Brentford last season. He was the number one goalkeeper. He was just the sort of freakish mix between being like, he faced a lot of shots, but a lot of them were from outside the box as well. So
That's the dream, isn't it? That's the sort of Burnley dream. Burnley of old, always, whoever was in goal for Burnley, Heaton, Pope, whoever, that's exactly what they would get. Lots of nice, easy shots, comfortable saves from outside the box. So they got a chance of a clean sheet and they rack up those saves. Next name is Petrovic. We have mentioned him, but I'll read out his stats anyway. So he hasn't been, he's only just relatively recently come into the side to replace Sanchez, who was injured. And now he's sort of looks like he's kept that place. 4.5. He's got a couple of clean sheets in that time, but minutes per save is strong every 24.5 minutes. I think if I was wildcarding now, I think I'd be really on Petrovic. It's just sheer fixture volume. And the fixtures are good. So form, fixtures, I say form, you know what, you know, the best of a bad bunch in terms of goalkeepers. But I would go for Petrovic.
He's very interesting as an option. And if certainly when I ask our sort of Chelsea experts what their opinion is on how likely he is to keep his place, because if they come back and say, we're pretty confident Pochettino said this or that, then 4.5 million for a Chelsea goalkeeper with all those fixtures, it's a great option. Yeah. Him and Onana, one of those two.
We'll come to defenders in a bit as well, but one thing to bear in mind is there might be a defensive option that can challenge these. So I personally wouldn't want to double up on the Chelsea defence. So I might be interested in Gusto, for example, but I wouldn't want Gusto and Petrovic. So if I didn't go for Gusto, Gusto, I'd probably go for Petrovic. Next name is Sart, Wolves. Eight Nori is going to get a lot of attention, I think, ahead of Wolves' potential double. But they have obviously got, they do have a double to rearrange, a double to take place. He's got four clean sheet points, minutes per save is every 27 minutes, so still pretty strong. And he's only 5 million, a little bit more for a goalkeeper. But yeah, I don't, if I didn't get eight Nori, I think I would like a piece of Wolves. And Saar, you know, does historically get points, you know, and he's a good differential, I think.
Yeah, the price is always a bit of a surprise when you see that he's 5 million and so many good candidates less than that. But at this time of season, if we're talking just a short-term wild card, as long as you can afford the squad, that price doesn't really matter. And yeah, Wolves have, there's something really interesting about them under Gary O'Neill. And whether it's Ait Nouri or Saar, it could definitely be worth getting somebody from their back line if they get double 34. Quite like them.
Okay, next name is Pickford, Everton. A bit like Onana, everyone hates him. But I mean, that's cruel to say, but you know what I mean in terms of FPL. But I think he's pretty high up, isn't he? Is he just behind Onana, or is he in terms of scoring goalkeepers? But he's got eight clean sheets. And his minutes per save is not as good as Onana, but it's 29.3 minutes he's getting a save. He's only 4.6. Yeah, I think if people don't go for Branthwaite, who is another popular option, Pickford, it looks, if I ever had Pickford in my team or wildcard draft, it always looks horrible. but he's, you know, he's good. He's a good goal. He's the England goalkeeper. He's, you know, I have to admit, he's a good goalkeeper.
That's right, yeah. He's say, like, as soon as a lot of people ditched him, the clean sheets came in. He kept four in a row between game weeks 14 and 17, and then there was a few after that as well. So I think from game week 8 onwards, I think he's still on the highest number of clean sheets. So, and he's fourth in the rankings. I'm just surprised there to see Areola slightly off top spot, which feels odd because...
Yeah, so Areola's had a few few hauls with penalty save, I think he got. And yeah. So there's those kinds of things. I haven't included Areola because of the lack of a double game week. But he is still an option, and I'm okay having him. I'm glad I haven't got Dubravka and Areola because that's just, I've had enough of that. But last name is Vicario at Tottenham. Most people go for either Porro or Doggy, I think. But Vicario is an option if you want to look elsewhere in your defence. It's 5.3, a bit more expensive. Six clean sheets, though, minutes per save every 30 minutes. So not as strong as some of the others, but still okay. Yeah, it's all about getting clean sheets for them. But if we don't think there's going to be too many attacking returns from the likes of a Doggy or Porro, which, you know, they always threaten to have good returns. I don't mind Vicario, but yeah, he's a bit too expensive, probably.
Yeah, I think there's probably no reason to pick him over the defenders unless you have so many great defensive names competing that, you know, you can't fit in Porro or Doggy. But yeah, he's, in terms of real life football, not fantasy, he's been brilliant this season. Yeah. A huge part of Spurs' resurgence from the Postecoglou. And yeah, he looks really handy, actually.
Okay, let's move on to defenders. So I'm assuming no one's ever going to get a clean sheet again for me, my team. So I'm looking for attacking threat, and I've done it for all matches because I could have done it to the last 6 weeks or so. But I think for something like this, with a lot of people using wild cards at some point or free hits or people are, sorry, not with free hits, but looking for wild cards. They're looking for, they're sort of looking for a player that bring in long term. So longer term stats always provide a sort of a more rounder picture of them. And top is Trippier at Newcastle. I'm not keen because I don't think this season he's offering value for money for his mighty price tag of 6.7. Nevertheless, this season he has created 63 chances. He's got 10 assists and a goal, so 11 attacking returns. In terms of clean sheets, he's actually also got six of those as well. And his expected goal involvement is getting on for eight, so he's marginally overperforming. Taking 106 corners, He's and his baseline bonus is every 5.3. Owners will know that if you own Trippier, he's in with a shout bonus as well. I'm not interested because of that price tag. And I don't know if I mean, you're a Newcastle fan. What you tell me about Trippier? Should I, am I being unfair?
No, you're being correct. I don't know how much of this, it's not even like being self-critical of your own team. Like the facts are there with Newcastle. The numbers are just the entertainers, but maybe not in a good way. The goals are flowing at both ends, which is good for their attackers. But defensively, the clean sheets have disappeared because what's happened is the gap between the centre backs and the midfield three is pretty big, and it just isn't being fixed. So other teams are just having a field day against it, and it just isn't being sorted out, and can't really see that stopping until the end of the season. Okay. There was a recent clean sheet against Wolves, but that was basically because all their attackers were injured.
But what about attacking threat? I mean, I know lots of names we're going to crop up in a sec who are about 2 million cheaper. But is Trippier's attacking threat, which is, you know, it's evident, is that worth it?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It is very good. You can see all the assists there on that table there. He's had a great time. A lot of that was early on. For example, the 8-0 against Sheffield United. I think that a lot of that was, I think he racked up at least 3 assists that day. He should still be fairly nailed on ahead of Livramento when he sort of shrugs off this knock. So, you know, the minutes are going to keep happening. And as you say, he's always in with a shout when he's on set pieces and he's crossing all the time. So it's not to say he'll stop delivering points, but it just probably won't be at a rate that justifies price.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean that sort of cements my view of not getting him in anyway, but yes, it will be that people will be tempted by him when there's a double game week for Newcastle. Porro's next to Tottenham. I was in my team for a while, then wasn't. With Maddison back, I like him less. I think a lot of these stats here are going to be based on a Maddisonless Spurs, but nevertheless I'll read them out. He's had a whopping 17 shots inside the box. He's created 43 chances. He's got 8 assists. No goals, which is unbelievable for those 17 shots from close range. 6 clean sheets. He's only marginally overperforming. No, underperforming, rather. So he should have got, I would say, a goal on that. So he's got 8 assists and his expected goal involvement this season is just over 7. And his minutes per baseline bonus is good. That's the baseline bonus point system. Is basically the stats you get, for those that don't know, the stats you get for the other bits apart from scoring and clean sheets. These are bits for passing and tackling and those types of things. So he does well there.
One of my favourite stats actually is that the player who's had the most shots to have still not scored is Porro.
Wow. Well, that I mean, there it is seven. I mean, I don't even know how many shots he has. I didn't count those up. I just went for the close range ones. So 17 at close range, and not to score from that. That's unbelievable for a professional footballer. So he must either be terrible at it, or he just comes up against really outrageously good defenders blocking him. But
he's certainly due one, like, regardless of his set pieces with Madison. He's due a goal, but he has been for a while and it still hasn't happened. So,
next name is Alexander Arnold. Injured at the moment, could be back very soon. So we have to prepare for him being back. We know that he can be worth his money. He's 8.5, so it's a big outlay, and that's going to affect what attackers you get able to get him. He's had 8 shots inside the box this season, created a whopping 53 chances. And he scored 2 goals and created 5 assists, got 7 clean sheets. So it's all round play there. And his minutes per baseline bonus is every 5.1 minutes. That's better than Trippier and Porro. Expected goal involvement was just over 6. So he's involved in 7. So marginally underperforming there. He's going to be a tricky one with a Liverpool double, isn't it? If he's fit.
It's the eternal question about his price. It's so tough. Like, there's already debates about squeezing Salah back in. Like, I'm doing an article, I'm kind of midway through it, a scout article at the moment on Salah, sort of how essential is he and who should make way for him, because there's so many good midfielders at the moment. There needs to be a sacrifice made. And that's not taking into account Trent being 8.5. So he is a very good asset. If you do have him still somehow, he probably would take over the points, but it is quite a lot of money.
Next name is from my team, Brighton, Lewis Dunk. He's 5.2, but what do you get for that? You get goals. He's got 23 shots inside the box, but he's got 3 goals as well. He's created 11 chances and he's got an assist as well. Brighton kept three clean sheets. You don't get a Brighton defender for clean sheets, but you do get them for this sort of attacking threat. Minutes per baseline bonus every 6.5 minutes. I think once again with a Brighton a double, I would be very tempted to get Lewis Duncan. I do have a Stupinan who's sort of rotting on my bench at the moment and always a threat of being replaced, but Dunk is solid there. He's always going to play. And I think no matter who he's against, if it's towards the end of the season as well, even if it's against, you know, top teams, you know, he could still nick a goal. And I think that's why I'm tempted to get him on a wild card in the future.
Yeah, there's a couple of names there. Like, we can see Tarkowski further down the list. You know, he's there's always going to be a corner that lands on his head.
Yeah.
Similarly to Dunk, so that's worth having.
Yeah. I mentioned, so Tarkowski's just a couple of places down on this list. I've sorted this by minutes per I had sorted it by minutes per expected goal involvement, but I can see I've sort of shuffled it around a bit there. It was just to sort of highlight some of these players here, but also on this list, Tarkowski 4.6. I'm sort of less interested in him, so I haven't highlighted him, but perhaps I should be. 19 shots inside the box, 17 chances created, he scored and he's assisted, and he's only 4.6. 8 clean sheets, obviously, you know, looking at Pickford, the surprise there is Everton's defense has been quite good. Minutes per baseline bonus, point system every 7.1 minutes. Yeah, you're right. I should be thinking about Tarkowski, really.
Well, I'm surprised I went for him rather than Gabriel on the list, because, of course, he is the guy who heads home the corners. But, as you say, the Everton assets do probably have a decent appeal between now and the end of the season, whether it's him or the cheaper Branthwaite or Pickford. Might be worth nicking one of them.
A doggy is also just behind Lewis Dunk in this list here. He has 8 shots inside the box, 22 chances created, a couple of goals and 3 assists. So his expected goal involvement is 4.2. So he's been only marginally overperforming, really. So doing what he should be doing. Minutes per baseline bonus every 8.5 minutes. So not as strong as Porro. I got him in my free hit, didn't do ahead of Porro. I mean, neither of them did well. But I think that shows that I think if I'm going to get a Tottenham defender, I think I'm on the doggy camp now rather than Porro.
Yeah, he saves a bit of money, first of all, which could be useful. And we talk about Porro still being goalless. Mm. Doggy isn't. So it makes him a good option. Mm.
Definitely. Gabriel, you mentioned there. Yeah, Arsenal defence. We've got Ben White as well in this list. I know I do the goals imminent video with Tom. He's had Ben White in his team for a while, which is why he has gone up about 200,000 places in the last couple of weeks. No one owns Ben White. He's got 6 shots inside the box, 23 chances created, 2 goals, 5 assists, 10 clean sheets. Meanwhile, Gabriel, in comparison, is not actually as good. I mean, he has got 21 shots inside the box. He has got 4 goals, but he's only created 3 chances. And he's got those 9 clean sheets, obviously. Ben White seemed to have played a bit more. Also, Ben White is better on the baseline bonus than Gabriel. So I think I'd be tempted to get both, but it's these two I'm more interested in, I think, from Arsenal, rather than Saliba.
Yeah, that's true. Someone who's had Gabriel all season, it's been an up-and-down journey, especially during those early weeks. But yeah, he seems to be fairly... Well, there was a sort of rumour that he was withdrawn from the Brazil squad. Was that true?
Yes, he has. I think he has withdrawn, but...
But it's one of those...
Yeah, I mean, a whole bunch of players have been withdrawn from their international squads. I think it's just... I mean, he's been withdrawn... You know, he doesn't want to play friendly against England, or can't, so he's probably not going to be risked. Haaland is also withdrawn from Norway's friendlies as well. So it's hard to tell at this stage. But as far as we know, Gabriel should be fine for game week 30.
So whether it's him or White, White is a bit more, of course, but he's another one who won't be taking part in the England match.
No.
But, so at least he's rested.
Yeah, so he'll be nice and rested. And so, yeah, I quite like him. I mean, it's not just because he used to be a Brighton player, I'm biased, but I do think he's good. He's one of those players when, as I said, when I look at Tom's team, when I compile the goals imminent video and all the team reveals we do, and he would say, why have you done so well? And it's like, oh, you got that player in. And it's the same. I see people with, like you mentioned, Tarkowski. He's exactly another one of those players. Said, why that player got 10 points more than me? And it's because they've got one of these players in. And another one is Cher. So I'll ask you, he's another Newcastle player. If I was going for a Newcastle defender, I think I would go for Cher at 5.4. He's had 16 shots inside the box, 3 goals and 3 assists, which is pretty good. Minutes per baseline bonus still quite strong at 6.8. Created 7 chances as well. Yes, either sell him to me or put me off him.
Well, the strange thing about Cher was last season, I think when we were over the summer going over the season-long stats, defensively, his underlying stats were like, he had more shots than anybody. He had more on target than anybody. He only scored on the opening day. So he massively underachieved. And it was the same this season. But then he scored 3 goals in the last 7.
Yeah.
Got a couple of, so he's sort of in the goals again.
Yeah.
But as mentioned, with the Newcastle defence, you're probably not going to get the clean sheets from them. So it's whether you think it's worth it or not. But I mean, I always like to do puns about the singer Cher, so I just think he's an asset. He's not strong enough.
Okay, so I think that would be I might if it was the actual singer Cher playing for Newcastle in defense, then I probably would in my team, because that would just, because it would just be funny.
You have Sun in midfield, you've got Sonny and Cher.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I just wanted to say for this table, while it looks like I've sorted by minutes per expected goal involvement, I've in fact sorted it by expected goal involvement there. And I know that is, so you're not really sort of comparing like for like, but it was just the way I sorted it in terms of you had to have quite a strong expected goal involvement to get in this over this period as well. And obviously a lot of these players here, they've got like strong shots in the box or chance creation as well. And some of the names I just added at the end, because I think they're quite good to have in, even though their expected goal involvement's a bit lower. So Luca Dean, I think we're going to sketch over him because plays for Villa, not good fixtures, could be a rotation risk with Moreno. In fact, he is a rotation risk and they don't have a double. But nevertheless, he's created 29 chances this season. And he's had a goal and three assists. Walker as well, I'm less interested in, but you may well be. 5.4 million, created 22 chances, which is quite surprising. He has had three assists as well. Minutes per baseline bonus every 6 minutes. But I don't know, are you interested in a City defender at all?
In theory, yes, but we know how the roulette wheel works. And Walker did avoid Pep Roulette for a while. That was interesting, but then it happened, so yep. Probably not.
Okay, and final two names, a couple of budget players that I'm very interested in when any double game weeks are announced. Ait Nouri at Wolves, created 20 chances this season, 9 shots inside the box, has scored and got a couple of assists. He's only 4.5. Depending on if it's a couple of tough games, I'll be less interested. But if Wolves double is okay, sort of half good, at least half good, I might go for him because he could at least get me an assist. He doesn't get a clean sheet, although he has got 3 clean sheets this season. And then the other one is Gusto at Chelsea. So if I didn't go for Petrovic, 4.2, a couple of shots inside the box and 20 chances created. He's been in and out the team, but he seems to have cemented it now. James isn't going to come back. He's got 5 assists, which is pretty strong for 4.2. And his minutes per baseline bonus system is good as well. Are you interested in these sort of budget options when a double arises?
Well, Gusto is. It does depend on James. Have you heard if is this season over, Reece James or not?
Yeah. I'm just going to say yeah, because if I say no, he'll come back and then he'll get injured again.
It's always the safe guess. Absolutely.
He's not. Yes, I'd be very, very surprised that even if Reece James came back for a game, whether he would last the next game. Yeah.
That's the sad truth, unfortunately. Yeah, there's been quotes from Southgate saying, oh yeah, you know, we hope he can make the Euro squad, and that makes you think, oh right, so we might get some minutes before the end of the season, but we just don't know, do we? So depending on that, yes, Gusto is a great option. And at that price, even if James does come back, it's still probably worth spending 4.2 on Gusto because, even if he gets rotated, that's a great price. And as you say, 5 assists, he's very good.
Excellent. So hopefully that's given everyone some food for thought there of some goalkeepers and defenders again, whether you're wildcarding, free hitting, looking for just a transfer in, or just preparing for whenever you get to know about the double game weeks. When you get those double game weeks announcements, particularly for game week 34, if any of the names we mentioned are on there, worth considering there, I think, as goalkeepers or defenders, especially if they've got that double there. But in the meantime, thanks a lot for your time, Mark. We'll be back again this week. We're going to look at midfielders and forwards as well during the international break. And a lot of the regular shows, Scoutcast, etc., will be back next week during the second half of the international break. But in the meantime, Mark, thanks a lot for joining me. Take care. See you soon.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.